Welcome to the audio version of In Touch Online for August 2020, with an opening address by the Provincial Grand Master. I want to start this piece with an acknowledgement to the incredible efforts of the many brethren who have worked tirelessly in preparing for a return to Masonic activity. I know that for some, the decision of UGLE to rescind the suspension notice was seen as the green light to immediately recommence Masonic meetings. Indeed, I'm aware that in some cases, summonses had been prepared and were due to be mailed out. In order to open our Masonic halls and to achieve a return to something close to normality requires an immense amount of preparatory work to be undertaken, not least the compilation of a detailed COVID-19 risk assessment and a series of workable, practical and enforceable protocols for brethren to follow. The Provincial Grand Secretary has circulated guidance from UGLE on the conditions which must be followed by all Masonic halls and lodges in order that we can all meet again in a COVID-19 secure environment, and where each and every individual's safety is considered ahead of a general desire to return to Masonic meetings. I know that Masonic hall committees have taken their legal responsibilities very seriously. After all, there are significant penalties should they get things wrong. I recognised that they have taken due notice of all the suggestions contained in the General Guidance for the Resumption of Masonic Meetings, jointly published with Supreme Grand Chapter. While UGLE guidance is very welcome and provides a clear basis for Masonic hall committees to work to, it does not override government COVID-19 guidance, as set out in the documentation covering the safe use of multipurpose community facilities. I mention both sets of guidelines simply to indicate the breadth of work that Masonic hall committees have been engaged in before they make a final decision on whether or not lodges can use the facilities. Brethren, please be patient and allow the Masonic hall committee to complete the necessary risk assessments and to review the cost of implementing any recommendations and changes suggested in the assessment process. The overarching consideration is that the Masonic Hall Committee can ensure that the building is COVID-19 secure and that the facility provides a safe environment for Masonic meetings and that all legislation has been complied with. I would remind you that the general guidance states that the following activities are not yet permissible under the current restrictions: singing, ceremony of raising, and festive boards. It is also strongly recommended that the practice of wearing white gloves be suspended in favour of regular hand washing or sanitising instead. I would confirm that I have mandated that white gloves and lodge officer collars should not be worn in any craft lodge meeting until further notice. Brethren, there has been some comment made about the adaptations to our ceremonies, all of which are made with the best intent. However, it should be clearly understood that these adaptations are not optional. If you conduct a ceremony of initiation or passing, the adaptations as prescribed by UGLE must be adopted. Doubtless these will seem strange at first, and for that reason it is recommended they be practiced and rehearsed thoroughly if lodges wish to perform these ceremonies. I also recognise that some brethren may be reluctant to return to Masonry at this time, and I would remind all brethren that nobody, particularly elderly or vulnerable members, should feel coerced into attending meetings, irrespective of their office, and that we should be understanding of an individual's concerns and the situations in which they may find themselves. In last month's newsletter, the Assistant Provincial Grand Master indicated that a number of lodges have their installation meetings scheduled for either September, October, November or December of this year. He reminded you that the precursor to the installation meeting is a meeting at which the incoming master is elected, thus becoming the master-elect. The Provincial Grand Secretary has sent guidance notes to lodge secretaries which cover the essential actions which must be taken to regularise matters. Any planned Masonic meeting must be restricted to no more than 30 attendees with all social distancing precautions in place. I would remind brethren that the 2-metre distance rule applies to all meetings held indoors unless full COVID-19 secure mitigation measures are in place, at which point 1 metre is allowed. As and when information is received from UGLE, or when the government issues further guidance on COVID-19 protocols, members can be assured this will be communicated to them as quickly as possible. It is my intention that clear and unambiguous guidance will be issued before September. In the meantime, I would urge you to refrain from speculating on what may or may not happen with regard to the resumption of Masonic meetings in the province. I have thoroughly enjoyed meeting with brethren across the province through the incredible medium of Zoom, and would like to congratulate every brother, especially those of more senior years, who have adapted to this unique way of meeting. I'm aware that this vital form of contact has proved to be a lifeline to many brethren suffering withdrawal symptoms as a result of not being able to meet with their Masonic friends. I have also been impressed to discover that Wiltshire Freemasons living abroad have zoomed in. Communication is key to our success as a province, not only in terms of how we speak to the membership, but also the way we present ourselves to those who are not Freemasons. I am particularly pleased to be able to report significant changes to the provincial website. I am delighted at its new appearance, lighter, brighter, and presenting a clearer shop window for a vibrant province. Talking of Zoom, on Tuesday the 4th of August, Vaston Lodge will be hosting a special event with Michelle Warville, the Director of Communication for the United Grand Lodge of England. The Lodge has been very active during the suspension period, holding a regular Tuesday evening learning meeting, which I'm advised includes a very interesting question and answer session. The meeting starts promptly at 7 p.m, and all inquiries to join the meeting should be made by email to pcowiltshire@gmail.com. I do hope you will be able to join the Master and Brethren of Vaston Lodge to hear Michelle speak about the work in which her team is involved, promoting Freemasonry and providing support to provincial communication teams. On Thursday, the 23rd of July, Chippenham Freemasons met with Chippenham Hospital Radio Chairman John Layden and their fundraising coordinator Linda Dubber and presented a cheque for £300. The donation was very well received by John and Linda, as all the usual fundraising activities had ceased since the lockdown, and the radio station is in need of support to enable the service to continue over the next few months. Once they are able to, Lodge members will be visiting the station for a tour. The £300 donated was the balance left over from the fund raised by members of Vale of Avon Lodge and Lansdowne Lodge of Unity to provide PPE and morale-boosting packs for staff working in 8 local care homes. In the last few weeks, members of both lodges completed the PPE and morale deliveries with visits to the Leonara Care Home and Seymour House in Chippenham. Even though the initial phase of the project has now ended, as a result of the success of this initiative, the members of both lodges are determined to continue working together in the future to support the needs of the local community. And now, from Dr. David Reed, a view about COVID-19. Brethren, we find ourselves in a situation that tests us all in many ways. We all have ideas and points of view, and some of us express them with more vigour than others. The recent publication from UGLE and the very precise guidance covering the circumstances in which lodge and chapter meetings can recommence is welcomed by everyone wishing to reactivate their Masonic life. The most important item in the guidance is that meetings can only recommence when Masonic Hall management committees are in a position to offer cast-iron assurances regarding COVID-19 security, a requirement which I'm sure we all agree is necessary. As a clinical scientist, it will not surprise you to know that I read scientific journals, always taking care to avoid journalistic script designed to alarm and sensationalise stories simply to increase sales and circulation figures. You will doubtless have read that there is concern in some parts of the scientific community that this coming winter may see a second wave of the COVID-19 virus, possibly with more fatalities than we have seen to date. It is always important to realise that this is an opinion based on modelling, and can therefore be challenged by other models created by equally learned scientists. However, apart from avoiding the virus infection, there does appear to be some things we can do to help survive the worst effects of it. Have a sufficient level of vitamin D. Many of the people who have died with the COVID-19 virus have been deficient in vitamin D. In the UK, people with darker skin absorb less vitamin D due to their skin colouring. It might also be why older people have been more susceptible to the virus, because they go out less and cover up more. Vitamin D has several important functions. Perhaps the most vital are regulating the absorption of calcium and phosphorus, and facilitating normal immune system function. On a personal level, I have for a long time taken vitamin D tablets through the winter months. I feel better for it. Have a body mass index of 18.5 to 25. Sadly, obesity is proven to be a contributory factor in COVID-19 virus deaths, where men in particular, with a high body mass index, BMI, are at a higher risk of not surviving the virus infection. I would point out that a high BMI alone is not the sole cause for COVID-19 deaths, but there is a need to take into account viral load and any other comorbidities. There are many apps or websites that you can look up how to calculate your BMI. It really is easy. Take your height in meters and square it. Divide the answer into your weight in kilograms. If your BMI is over 30, you need to take the matter very seriously and look to reduce it in a healthy way. In a European study, 73% of critically ill patients with COVID-19 had a BMI over 30. Now, I'm as keen about eating as anyone, so I'm not taking a moral position with this one. I like meat, cheese, cream, etc., and plenty of it. I exercise because I like eating, not because I like exercising. But maybe now is the time to draw the line in the sand and cut back a little and take more time to think about what we are eating. Thank you for listening.